This enforcement action reinforces the imperative that exporters, particularly those operating in highly technical, globally integrated industries, must implement and enforce strong internal compliance protocols. While AOS sought advice regarding its ability to transact with Huawei, it failed to disclose critical details, disregarded explicit warnings. The company's continued shipments, despite this knowledge, reflected a breakdown in the internal controls necessary to ensure EAR compliance.
Global companies face unprecedented risks and challenges in today's economy. To mitigate these legal and economic risks, companies are rapidly embracing and elevating the importance of robust ethics and compliance programs to promote positive corporate citizenship. On Corruption, Crime, and Compliance, you'll hear from industry leaders and insiders about how to create effective ethics and compliance programs that will mitigate risks and maximize financial performance. Here's your host, Michael Volkoff.
Hello, everyone. Michael Volkoff here for another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance. Today, we're going to catch up with OFAC and BIS, Bureau of Industry and Security, and trade enforcement actions, recent ones. First, let's start with BIS. And on June 27th, 2025, the Bureau of Industry and Security, BIS, issued an order resolving administrative enforcement proceedings against Alpha and Omega Semiconductor Incorporated, AOS. That's a publicly traded designer and supplier of power semiconductors based here in beautiful California. The BIS concluded that AOS committed 15 violations of the EAR, Export Administration Regulations, between May and November 2019 by exporting a range of EAR 99 designated items. This is an important reminder that just because your items are EAR 99 doesn't necessarily mean that there are no responsibilities or regulations that may apply that you have to ensure compliance with. In this case, AOS's products involved smart power stages, power controllers, and related accessories, which they exported from the United States to Huawei Technologies, the foreign Chinese company designated on the entity list. Of the 15 discrete violations, BIS determined that 11 were undertaken with actual knowledge or, at a minimum, a reason to know that the conduct in question contravened or violated U.S. export controls. The enforcement action culminated in a civil penalty of $4.25 million, payment of which is now a condition for the maintenance or renewal of any export license or privilege. Huawei was added to the BIS's entity list on May 16, 2019, following a determination by a multi-agency end-user review committee that the company had been involved in activities contrary to the national security or foreign policy interests of the U.S. So a license requirement was imposed for the export, re-export, or in-country transfer of all items subject to the EAR involving Huawei and its listed affiliates. This prohibition extended to all U.S. origin items, items exported from the U.S., and certain foreign-produced items incorporating controlled U.S. content. AOS was promptly made aware of these restrictions and had retained outside counsel to assist their implications in relation to the company's effort to qualify as a digital power supplier to Huawei. So despite these safeguards, AOS proceeded to export from the U.S. approximately 1,650 components intended for evaluation and end use by Huawei, failing in the process to obtain the required license. The facts also reveal a troubling disregard for compliance protocols despite early recognition of the red flags. Although AOS engaged outside counsel to evaluate whether it could transact with Huawei, those communications focused primarily on whether products manufactured, tested, and packaged in China could be lawfully transferred. Crucially, AOS withheld material facts from its legal advisors, failing to disclose that it was shipping physical samples from the U.S. to Huawei through its affiliated facilities in China. Outside counsel provided a legal memo on or about May 18, 2019, indicating that authorization from BIS would not be required for products of foreign origin lacking de minimis U.S. origin content. However, the memorandum included an important caveat. If AOS remained uncertain as to whether the specific products were subject to the EAR, it should halt shipments to Huawei until further analysis was conducted. AOS did not follow that recommendation. Instead, 10 days later, executives met with Huawei representatives in China and subsequently authorized the export of 200 smart power stage samples from the U.S. to an engineer in Shenzhen for Huawei's evaluation. Additional shipments followed over the next 10 days, totaling approximately 600 components, all routed through China for ultimate delivery to Huawei. The violations grew worse in both frequency and severity following a second legal opinion delivered by outside counsel on or around June 16, 2019. This second round of guidance issued at AOS's request clarified unequivocally that any item originating from the U.S. being supplied or transferred from the U.S. or otherwise transiting through the U.S. could not be lawfully provided to Huawei without a license, even if the item would not otherwise be subject to the EAR. Nonetheless, AOS failed to disseminate this guidance internally or implement any meaningful controls to prevent further exports. Instead, the company continued shipping hardware from the U.S. to its Chinese affiliate on at least 11 additional occasions between June 26 and November 22, 2019, including demo boards, evaluation boards, PMS dongles, and cables, all of which were ultimately transferred to Huawei. BIS concluded that AOS either knew or had ample reason to know that its conduct constituted a violation of U.S. law. Each of the 15 charged violations correspond to a specific export transaction detailed in the agency's schedule of violations, with the first four predicated on unauthorized exports in violation of 15 CFR 764.2.2A and 0.2E. The civil penalty of $4.25 million imposed under the terms of the settlement agreement reflects the significant compliance failure issue. Though BIS did not impose a denial of export privileges in light of AOS's cooperation and agreement to resolve the matter administratively. Nonetheless, the enforceability is augmented by a provision making timely payment a condition of the continued validity of any export license. This enforcement action reinforces the imperative that exporters, particularly those operating in highly technical, globally integrated industries, must implement and enforce strong internal compliance protocols. While AOS sought advice regarding its ability to transact with Huawei, it failed to disclose critical details, disregarded explicit warnings. The company's continued shipments, despite this knowledge, reflected a breakdown in the internal controls necessary to ensure EAR compliance. And remember again that the fact that the items were classified as EAR 99 did not absolve AOS of its regulatory obligations once a listed end user was involved. BIS's decision to impose a $4.25 million civil penalty, absent any evidence of willful misconduct, demonstrates that even inadvertent or negligent violations will yield serious consequences. So that's BIS, and let's turn then. We had an enforcement action announced by OFAC, $608,000 penalty on key holding for violations of the Cuban sanctions program. On July 2nd, OFAC announced that it entered into a settlement agreement with Key Holding, a privately held logistics and freight forwarding firm headquartered in Delaware, to resolve potential liability for violations of the Cuban sanctions program. The violation stemmed from the activities of Key's Colombian subsidiary, which managed the logistics for dozens of shipments to Cuba over an 18-month period. While OFAC determined that the violations were not egregious and were voluntarily self-disclosed, the settlement reflects a calculated response to serious compliance deficiencies that occurred after Key Colombia became subject to U.S. jurisdiction as a result of its acquisition by a U.S. person. So once again, we have an acquisition of a foreign company, the failure to integrate or to ensure compliance after integration. The transactions it issued occurred between January 24th, 2022 and July 31st, 2023, during which time Key Columbia arranged the logistics for 36 freight shipments from suppliers located in Colombia, Spain, China, and Panama to consignees in Cuba. These shipments, valued in total at over $3 million, included both non-licensable foodstuffs and industrial components such as safety-related oil well machinery, towels, and electric forage choppers. Although Key Columbia had operated independently since its founding in 2011, its acquisition by Key Holding in December 2021 triggered the extraterritorial application of the Cuban sanctions. Because they extend to entities owned or controlled by U.S. persons under the Cuban sanctions program, like the Iran sanctions program and North Korea, Key Columbia's post-acquisition business dealings with Cuba fell within OFAC's jurisdiction, making each of the 36 transactions a violation of the Cuban sanctions. Notably, one of the shipments involved an intermediary, Commercial Cupet, a Cuban government-controlled entity designated to manage oil machinery imports, raising additional concerns regarding the Cuban government's indirect benefit from the transactions. Key Holding did not become aware of Key Columbia's Cuba sales until January 2024, when it was conducting diligence in connection with a prospective sale of the business to another U.S. entity. At that time, it also came to light that neither Key Holding nor Key Columbia held a sanctions compliance program in place. Upon discovery, Key Holding voluntarily self-disclosed the matter to OFAC and ceased processing further orders involving Cuba. The company subsequently adopted its first formal trade sanctions and export control compliance policy on April 1st, 2024, followed by mandatory company-wide training initiated 2 weeks later. By July 2024, Key Columbia also implemented an automated screening system for continuous compliance monitoring of international shipments. OFAC acknowledged these measures as mitigating factors in the final penalty calculation. In accordance with the OFAC's enforcement guidance, the base penalty for the violations was $1.2 million, representing half the total transaction value. The final settlement amount of $608,000 was reducible mitigating factors, including a lack of prior OFAC in violations, its prompt remedial actions, and its high level of cooperation. OFAC specifically noted that most of the shipments were benign consumer goods and that the company took immediate steps to address its internal compliance gaps. Notably, however, OFAC identified several aggravating factors that informed its decision. Chief among these was the failure of both Key Holding and Key Columbia to exercise appropriate caution or implement basic compliance procedures following the change in ownership that subjected the Colombian subsidiary to U.S. jurisdiction. OFAC found that although Key Holding's U.S.-based personnel were unaware of the Cuba shipments until January 2024, Key Columbia staff knew of the activity at the time it occurred. The agency further concluded that Key Holding had reason to know of the conduct and that the company's inaction contributed to undermining the stated policy objectives of the Cuban sanctions. And this case highlights a critical and often overlooked compliance risk. The automatic extension of U.S. sanctions jurisdiction to non-U.S. subsidiaries of U.S. companies. While Key Columbia's operations were managed entirely outside of the U.S., its status as a subsidiary of a U.S. person subjected it to the same prohibitions applicable to domestic entities. The fact that neither entity had adopted a sanctions compliance framework at the time of acquisition significantly increased the likelihood of inadvertent violations and underscored a lack of enterprise-wide risk awareness. The settlement serves as a cautionary precedent for U.S. companies acquiring foreign affiliates, particularly in sectors such as logistics and freight forwarding, where transactional visibility and jurisdictional reach may be obscured by the layered structure of cross-border shipments. Okay, folks, well, that's just a quick wrap on two cases that just came up. We're seeing basically a return to prior administrative enforcement actions, and we'll probably see more as time goes on, and we'll keep you posted. Thanks again, and have a great week. We'll talk to you next week for another episode.
If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to support the show is by subscribing on your favorite listening platform. To learn more and connect with Michael Volkoff, go to volkovlaw.com.